always think it's interesting how the Word of God does sometimes come off the pages and speak to us. I know when I first became a Christian, I accepted that Jesus had been born a baby and everything else, that he was Lord and Savior and died. It did have an impact on me, but what really struck me was about 6 months later, I was reading the book of Isaiah, and to see the birth of Jesus forecast, what, 500-600 years before he came here to earth, it just, I won't say blew my mind away, but it really shook me, just affirmed how important the Word of God is, and how God can speak to us through it. It certainly did wonders for me, that passage from Isaiah, I know. This evening I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Very familiar passage, which I'm sure you've heard many, many times. And you're all aware why Jesus came into the world, I'm sure, this afternoon. So I'm going to try and give you a bit of insight into things perhaps we haven't maybe considered before. The census that was to be taken was ordered by the Roman Empire, basically for two reasons. One was to discover who was available for military service. The other, of course, was for taxation purposes. Vital issues for both Roman authorities. It puzzled me at first why the Romans allowed the Jews to be exempt from doing military service, but then it became rather obvious. They didn't want to arm the people in Jerusalem. They might throw the Romans out. But the information we have today comes from the actual census that was written on papyrus and discovered in the dust heaps of Egyptian towns and villages in the sands of the desert. These censuses were taken every 14 years. It's interesting to note, too, that the original papyrus that we have today dates from AD 20. Amazing, isn't it, that it's still in existence. We've got the originals from AD 20 to AD 270, which I find is fantastic. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 80 miles, and accommodation for travellers in those days was very, very primitive. An Eastern inn was like a series of stalls opening out onto a sort of common courtyard. And travellers used to have to bring their own food. All the innkeeper had to do was to provide fodder for the animals and a fire so that those who came could do their cooking. How things have changed. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. Very symbolic, don't you think? The only real room made for Jesus was on the cross at Calvary. And Jesus came into this world to win over the overcrowded hearts of men. And still today, his search and sadly his rejection goes on. I do like the version that was written by Luke about the birth of Jesus. And it is a first-hand account, because we know Luke got nearly all his information from Mary, the mother of Jesus. And consider this. We have the good news of the most important event in the whole of human history. But who does the Word of God come to first? Kings, governors, theologians, high priests, rabbis, military commanders, Sadducees, Pharisees, they're very rich and wealthy folk. But surely whatever happens, it has to be to men, doesn't it? But no. the message came to Elizabeth and Mary, the women, one married, one engaged. And remember that women were not treated as they are today. Jewish women, as we know, held a very low place in society. Secondly, God's message came to the shepherds, those folk who were despised by the good Orthodox people of the day. They're outlawed, incapable of keeping the required details of the ceremonial law. They couldn't even observe all the hand washings, the rabbinic rules and regulations. How dreadful. It's interesting to see that these two classes of people were the ones that God chose to announce the coming of Jesus into the world. Women who were not held in high regard, and shepherds regarded as the lowest of the low in society. God sends his message to shepherds during the night as they set out in the fields overlooking Bethlehem. I don't know if any of you have actually been there, but I stood there about 15 years ago looking up on those hills there, and there were some sheep on the hills at the time. It was almost as if you could be taken back into time and imagine what it was like on that first Christmas morning. The shepherds, the poorest of the poor, treated as thieves, folk certainly not to be trusted into society. They were considered so low that they couldn't give evidence in a court of law. Everyone said and believed that their words could not be trusted. Note this, God spoke to them. God trusted them. And yet, it could be that they were, in one sense, very special shepherds. Every morning and evening in the temple, as you probably know, perfect, unblemished lambs were offered as a sacrifice to God. Think about it. How could that happen? A perfect lamb delivered to the temple twice a day, every day. Well, to ensure that supply was available, did you know that the temple authorities actually had their own private flocks of sheep? And these flocks were pastured on the hills near Bethlehem. So it's more likely that these shepherds, the one that Luke writes about, were in charge of the temple flocks from which the daily offerings were chosen. See, God had it all sorted out. I think we need to remember that sometimes, that God has got things sorted out. We may not think so, but it's true. For me, it's a lovely thought to know that the shepherds, the despised and poorest of the poor, who looked after and cared for those sheep, were the first to see the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus. Perfect sacrificial lamb, the one who takes away the sin of the world, helpless in a sense, and lying in a manger. God had it sorted. The custom in Bethlehem was this, that when a baby boy was born, some local musicians used to gather around the home where the baby was born and play simple Jewish music to celebrate the birth of a baby. But Jesus was born at night, in a stable, at an inn, so that particular ceremony couldn't take place. I think this too is a wonderful thought, that the angels and the heavenly hosts of heaven took the place of those minstrels. The baby boy's birth would be celebrated. Those angels sang for Jesus, songs that the earthly singers did not. And God had that sorted out as well. As I said, you might well have expected Jesus to be born into a palace, or at least a mansion, but that wasn't God's plan. You can read today of a European monarch who really worried and annoyed his courtiers by regularly disappearing. Can you imagine what happened if that happened today with the Queen? Couldn't find her for a day or two, there'd be a panic, wouldn't there? Well, the security guards of this king took him to task and had a word with him and asked him, politely of course, can you stop doing that? How do you know where you are? You could have been kidnapped or worse. The king replied, I cannot rule my people unless I know how they live. It's a great point to remember that we have a God who knows the lives that we live. He knows our failures, he knows our weaknesses, he knows our temptations, because he too lived here and walked here on earth. And Jesus claimed no special privileges or advantages over the other people. The point that Luke is making is clear. The birth of this baby is the beginning of a confrontation between the kingdom of God, with all its apparent weaknesses and insignificance and vulnerability, against the kingdoms of the world. The rest of Luke's story, both in Gospel and the book of Acts, tells us how Jesus brought the kingdom of God into this world. Caesar Augustus never heard of Jesus, but in less than 100 years, his successors had not only heard about him, but were taking steps to kill off all who followed him. And then again, within 300 years, the emperor himself became a Christian. The gospel was spreading out into the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord. And that had been how Jesus had commanded us, Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you see a manger on a Christmas card or in a church, don't just gaze at the crib. Look beyond it to see what it is pointing at. The explosive truth that the baby lying there is not only being spoken of as a king, but he is, in fact, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, the Son of the living God. I wonder, have you ever thought how significant the manger is? Supposing another couple had stayed there that night and used the manger for a cot. Perhaps Mary might have made up a bed on the ground in a corner with some blankets. And I think it just shows us how unfazed Mary was by the whole situation, using a feeding trough for a cot. But the manger itself was significant. It was a signpost for the shepherds. It told them where to look. Firstly, it must be a place where mangers were, obviously a stable. And secondly, which baby to look for, the one lying in a manger. Luke mentions it because it's a very important part of the message and the directions that the shepherds had been given by the angel. God had planned all of this. The angel had told the shepherds that this baby was the Messiah. No wonder they sprinted down to the town to see what was going on. As Palestinian Jews, I'm sure they would have been like the rest of the Jewish nation, expecting a savior, expecting a Messiah, someone to take them out of this grip of the Roman authorities, to free them from Rome altogether. Why else would the shepherds leave their precious sheep? And think how comforting it was for Mary and for Joseph to have the original message of the angel about Jesus confirmed, because up until then it had been a secret. When you think of it, the confirmation came from a most unlikely source, from shepherds. Those shepherds, having at first been terrified by the angelic host, being obedient to the angel, and then coming in from the fields at night to search for this child. I was thinking this afternoon, I wonder how we'd react if we were suddenly surrounded by a heavenly host singing. I wonder what would go through your mind. Would you be terrified? The angels came and sang around the shepherds, and the shepherds were terrified, but not for long. And notice how evangelistic the shepherds were. Amazingly, they were not afraid to tell people what they'd witnessed, what had happened. And we read, all the folk that they told were amazed. I pray that's true for us when we tell people about Jesus. When we share our faith, people are amazed and turn to Christ. And shouldn't we be like those shepherds, bold to tell others? And I love this last bit of the story where we read the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen, which is just as they'd been told. So on Christmas morning, tomorrow morning this year, will you be saying to Jesus, yes, come on in. We're going to celebrate your coming into the world and into my life. Or are we going to shut the door and tell them there's no room? I pray that we may have a positive response this Christmas, that we will respond to the call and the love of God in Christ Jesus. We'll say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And if you've already committed fully to the Lord, ask him to come and just reveal himself again, that we too may glorify and praise God. I pray that we may be faithful witnesses. We'll be like the shepherds telling the folk about what we've been told, Savior of the world, Jesus. So this evening, let's thank God for the obedience of those terrified shepherds. Let's thank God for the songs of the heavenly angelic host. Let's thank God that there was no room at the inn. Let's thank God there was a stable and a manger. Let's thank God that he does have it all in hand. Especially tonight, let's thank God for Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray too that we may have that same sort of celebratory nature that those shepherds had. They returned leaping and praising and glorifying God. I wonder how we leave the chapel tonight when we leave here. We could go with, oh, thank God that's over. We could go out here with a smile on our faces. We could go out praising and glorifying God for what he's done for each one of us. He sent Jesus into the world so that we might have life, so that we might be set free from our sins. The story of Jesus, I'm sure it's not true for all of us. When I see it sometimes on television, it actually brings a tear to my eye. And I mentioned this on Sunday, watching the Vicar of Dibley's version of it. And the little lad's, "Can we come in?" And the boy says, "Yes, come on in." I pray that's true for all of us, that there will be room in our hearts for Jesus, not just tonight, but every night from now on, that Jesus will be Lord of our lives, Lord of all that we say and do, that we may know his presence, that we praise him, that we may glorify him, that each day we may thank him for the lives that we lead, the freedom we have to read his word, to worship him, and to praise him. I pray as we go home tonight, we will go out of here glorifying and praising God. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing our next song, and I'd like the servers to come out as we sing this, please.
Let's stand and sing, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."